I've been on both ends in camp meetings. I've been the evangelist waiting till it was over, and I've been over there counting it as it come in. I've been up here trying to get it to come in. I know all about it. It takes it. It takes it. And I'll tell you this. The Bible teaches you to give. And when you obey the Bible in giving, receiving offerings, you are not quenching the Spirit of God. I don't know what it does to your spirit, but it doesn't do anything to the Spirit of God. This has not affected the Spirit of God at all tonight. Has it affected yours? It ought to have for good. Praise the Lord. Now, he didn't take 7 minutes of my time. He didn't take none of my time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, you that's tired and wore out and don't want to, don't do it. Don't do it. If you don't have nothing to praise the Lord for, just sit there and cross your legs and chew your gum. But if you've got something to praise the Lord for, I'm going to give you a chance to stand up and do it. I'm going to give you a chance. Praise the Lord. 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 Praise God. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, he set ambushment against the enemy. Have you begun? Have you gotten into the camp meeting? Are you at the camp? Or are you in the camp? Or are you a part of the camp? Praise God. I'm glad I'm just a great big part of it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to stay right among the people of God doing what they're doing, because that's who the Lord's are coming after, is the church, the people of God. And if I'm right among them and one of them, I'm a going with them. Praise the Lord. That's why I'm going to stay with you, folks. I'm going to stay with you. You're not going to run me off. No, sir. You couldn't do enough to run me off. I'm here to stay. Praise the Lord. I'd like to see every hand in this building, every person that's physically able to raise their hands, and they're thankful they are. There may be someone here that can't. But look at the hand. Now let's give the Lord a wave offering. Just wave both of those hands. Praise the Lord. Brother Dean, isn't that beautiful? Glory, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory. I'm going to tell on you. I'm going to tell on you. Good to see Brother and Sister Greenway here tonight. It just seemed like they ought to belong to Arkansas instead of Mississippi. Brother Greenway was introducing me at Forest City years ago. I was sitting on the front seat, and his wife, Sister Greenway, was sitting right directly behind me. And Brother Greenway was introducing me and acknowledging me being present. And he said, my wife, referring to Sister Greenway, says that Brother Glass is the ugliest preacher she ever saw in her life when he was preaching. I just looked right straight back at her, just turned around, and I looked at her. She looked like, I'll tell you, it's a good thing she didn't have her hands on Brother Greenway right then. But I looked straight at her, and I wouldn't crack a smile. I said, did you say that? And she just trembled. And I laughed. I said, well, sister, don't be worried and embarrassed. You're not the first one that said it. Some of you folks have thought it, but I don't care.
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!
All right, I've got a message that I've been anxious about. You know, sometimes preachers, they got something and they feel like they want to share with an audience, and they get so anxious. I just got so anxious back there and so fidgety, I kicked my cup of water over and didn't even know it. And a brother went and got me another. I'm anxious. I'm ready. Are you ready? Praise the Lord. I'm going to introduce a subject to you tonight, and I want to share it with you. I want to introduce it before I let you sit down. I want to introduce it. One verse of Scripture. 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Notice the last two thoughts in this verse. Which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. I'm going to preach tonight from this thought that I've introduced, a measure to reach even unto you. And I'm going to scripturally prove that the most choice blessings of God that's ever been bestowed upon any person that ever lived is measured to you. To you. I'll go back in the Old Testament, go all the way through it. I'll bring in the apostles. I'll bring in the most highly honored individuals that God ever honored. And I'll scripturally prove the greatest measure God has ever distributed is measured unto even you. Now that word even is in there for a purpose. You have used it. You have used it. When you wanted someone to know that they were included. They were included. You would say, even you. And then you have said, why, even little old me. How many of you ever used that? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Well, you see, Paul knew it is going to be hard to convince you that you were included. It's going to be hard. So he used the word even. A measure to reach even unto you. Now if it is just you and I, now there's a lot of people here tonight. You're accepting that I'm preaching and speaking to all the people. Of course I am. But I could read this to you if it is just you and I here. Just any one person here, I could single you out and read it to you. A measure to reach even unto you. And I'm going to say again, the richest, the most choice, the most treasured, the most precious favors, blessings of God that's ever been given to mortal man is measured to you tonight. Praise the Lord! You may be seated. I'm thinking of a particular incident when Jesus was upon the earth and he was ministering. He wasn't introduced to the audience as the Son of God, as the long-waited-for Messiah. He just was standing, and the people gathering around him, and he was teaching and instructing. And while he was teaching, there was a lady in the audience that recognized him as being the long-waited for Messiah. She recognized him. She said in her heart, that is the Messiah. That is the Son of God. And when she thought of that, she thought of this also. Some lady, some virgin has already enjoyed that high honor of God that someone was to be honored with as being the mother of the Messiah. And so that left her completely and altogether discouraged. It seemed like it would have encouraged her to have thought there is the Son of God. But instead, it left her discouraged because she was one of many that had hoped and prayed and longed and thought of there's a possibility of me being that chosen one. This had been the dreams of Jewish virgins for many, many years. I could go back in the book of Judges, and I believe I could make you to understand that was the hope and dream of Jephthah's daughter. Jephthah made a rational vow out on the battlefield that if God would give him a victory over the Ammonites who he was battling against, if you will, he said to God, if you'll give me the victory, the first that comes out of my door to meet me when I go home, I'll sacrifice it to you. And God gave him the victory, and he was returning home. And to his disappointment, he saw his only child, a daughter, come out of the door to meet him. He screamed out to her to return, to go back. I've opened my mouth and I've made a vow. He told her his vow. She encouraged him to keep his vow, but first permit me to go into the mountains and spend 2 months and bewail my virginity. She was cherishing her virginity, hoping, praying, trusting that she may be the chosen one to be the mother of the Messiah. That had been the hope, I say again, of women virgins for many years. Now this one that heard Jesus speak, it left her empty. It left her discouraged. It left her despondent. That hope, someone else has received it. That honor fell on someone else. I am left out. I'll never receive such an honor. And when the speaking was over, she went around to where Jesus was. She did not say, I enjoyed your discourse. I enjoyed your teaching. She did not say, I recognized you as being the Son of God. I believe you to be the Messiah. She did not say that. She said, blessed, blessed be the womb that bare thee. Blessed is that one that was so highly honored of God to be your mother. He looked down in her discouraged, empty feeling. And he said these words to her, and oh, how I wish I could say them to you and make you to understand them. He said to her, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear my word and keep it. That is a measure that reaches even unto you. Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear my word and keep it. Now you're wanting, he was saying to her, you're wanting to bless Mary. You're wanting to bless my mother that was so honored. But there is a greater honor waiting for you. A greater honor. That's why I read and introduced the thought, even unto you. Jesus meant when he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear my word and keep it. They're the ones that's going to receive the honor, the high honor that I have to bestow upon a human race. And you are privileged tonight to hear the word of God and obey it and keep it. That's a measure that's reached even unto you. Let me remind you of another. On one particular occasion, Jesus and his disciples were talking, and they were speaking of John the Baptist. And Jesus said these words, and I believe it because Jesus said it. He said, no greater prophet was ever born of a woman than John the Baptist. Now I believe that. I believe it because Jesus said it. It may be somewhat hard for me to accept had Jesus not have said it? Because John only prophesied for some 3 years. And we have Jeremiah prophesying 35 years. We have the great prophet Isaiah. We have great prophets of the Old Testament. But Jesus said, no greater was ever born than John the Baptist. I believe that. I'll let you pick out your choice prophet. Go way back to Moses. Come on to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Joel, any of them that you think of. And then I'll tell you, Jesus knew they were prophets when he said, no greater prophet was ever born than John the Baptist. Praise God. That's taken nothing away from other prophets. He just said, there's none greater than John the Baptist. I believe that. I believe that. I remember some time ago, our youth leader, she chose a young man that was well versed in the Scripture, and he was challenging. He wanted to learn more about the Bible. Then she chose another young man in the same category, and she said, I'm going to ask you two to debate for the next 3 youth services on which is the greatest prophet, Abraham or Noah. And they spent 3 youth services debating. And it got so interesting, the whole church attended the last debate. And I was so interested, I was there. And they went back and they dug up some things. And I'll never forget, Arnold Johnson said, I know Abraham was the greatest prophet of the two because he was blessed of God with untold wealth. He was called a friend of God. He went into details, took a long time that I'm not taking here tonight. And I think he had the crowd just about swayed on his side. Then they turned it to Medford. My brother, this is years ago. They were young men then. And Medford got up and he said, I concur with my opponent, Arnold Johnson. Abraham was a great man. He's known as the father of faith. He's known as a friend of God. And he was a mighty prophet. God did bless him with wealth. I'm going to agree with him. He kept on. It looked like he's going to vote for Abraham. And then he said, but I'll remind you of this. There could have been a possibility that Noah would have been a rich prophet. But he worked 100 long years building an ark in obedience to God for no income whatsoever. No income. His wealth is on the other side. Abraham had his here, but Noah's is over yonder. And you know, he won the debate. He won the debate. And you can just debate on the prophets all you want to. And I'll come right back and tell you, Jesus said, no greater was ever born than John the Baptist. But I like the rest of it. He said, but the least, the very least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. My friends, that's a measure that reaches even unto you. You're not left out. I still say the most choice, rich, favorable blessings of God that's ever been bestowed upon mankind at any time, in any dispensation of time, is yours for the receiving tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll go back to Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's very interesting to me to know this and to notice this, that the Lord saw to it that Mary's name stayed in the Bible till everyone would know beyond any reasonable shadow of a doubt that Mary was in the upper room when the Holy Ghost came down. She was worshiping and praising and blessing God and received the Holy Ghost. The Lord wanted the world to know that is the blessing. That is the honor. All others is good and great. But the greatest of all, praise God, is the privilege of being born into the kingdom of the living God. And that's a measure to reach even unto you. Praise the Lord. I like this. You listen to this. You listen to this. 13th verse of the first chapter of Acts gives all the apostles in the upper room. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Now, why didn't they leave Mary in that category? She was a woman. They could have left the next statement out. With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Word wanted you to know that the greatest honor Mary ever received was not in the manger, but in the temple. And that is a measure that reaches even unto you. Now then, if I could tonight, if I could, and this would be hard to do because all of us feel so little. I thank God for our humble Pentecostal people. Not too many of them feel themselves great. I know a few that I accept are great. But it takes away from them because I know they're great. And that takes away from them with me. If I were tonight to say I want to pick out in this beautiful audience the least, the smallest, the most insignificant child of God with the Holy Ghost in this audience, I wish you would come up here. There's just a lot of you would feel that way. But you'd feel embarrassed to come up. But you feel little. You feel so insignificant. You feel that you're just a nobody. But thank God you have the Holy Ghost. And you appreciate it. I could call you up here and scripturally prove to you that you are greater than John the Baptist. I don't mean by that you're more holy. No, I don't mean that. 1,000 times no. You are greater dispensationally. You are greater positionally. You are greater experimentally. You're living in a greater day with a greater experience. This is what John actually wanted, was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some will say, but Brother Glass, he had the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Not in a baptismal form. No mortal creature ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost until the day of Pentecost. I can scripturally prove that. Jesus stood on that great day of the feast with outstretched hands. Let him that is athirst come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. For thus spake he of the Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. The Holy Ghost baptism was not given until the day of Pentecost. Praise God, the Holy Ghost was with you, but Jesus said, it shall be in you.
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!
And on that glorious day, on that when John was out in River Jordan, baptizing disciples, baptizing believers, Jesus walked up on the scene, and John screamed out in introduction, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world," and situated himself to be baptized. And John said, "Not so, not so. I have need to be baptized of thee." John didn't mean, "I want you to baptize me in Jordan." John never did preach that Jesus had baptized in water. He never preached that. Here's what John preached. "I indeed baptize you in water. I have baptized you unto repentance. But you believe on him that comes after me, that is on Christ Jesus, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." That's what John wanted Jesus to baptize him with. That's what he wanted. That's what the old prophets wanted. God bless your heart, but they were never privileged to receive it. They prophesied of the grace that should come to us. They inquired about it. They longed for it, but they were never privileged to receive it. They obtained a good report by faith. Oh, thank God for the report they received by faith, but they never received the promise. God having provided some better thing for us. That's what I'm preaching about tonight. God provided some better thing for us. Something better is provided for this camp meeting than was provided for Abraham, than was provided for David, than was provided for Isaiah. It's provided for you. God having provided some better thing for us. And that is a measure that reaches even unto you. I wish you'd listen to some of those precious old prophets. I wish you'd listen to them. Of which salvation the prophets, having inquired, searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Can you understand that? Salvation the prophets have inquired, searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. That grace is measured unto you tonight. They prophesied of what you would receive. Listen at Joel. "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God." That leaves Joel out. He's not in the last days. He's in the Old Testament days. He's a prophet, but he's prophesying under the anointing, moved on by the Holy Ghost. "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." That's a measure that reaches even unto you. Joel was never privileged to receive it. He didn't include himself. Listen at the prophet Isaiah. Listen at him. "With joy shall ye," not "with joy shall we," but "with joy shall you," "with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation." Praise God. But that old prophet was never privileged to draw one drink of that water. He's prophesying of the grace that should come to us. And that grace is here. The prophet was never privileged to draw one drink of that water. He's prophesying of the grace that should come to us. And that grace is here. And that grace is measured unto even you tonight. Oh,
I'm not getting this across. I'm not getting it across. That's the reason that word even was inserted in that verse. The writer knew it was going to be hard to convince you of what God has provided for you. Going to be very hard. Very hard. But if you believe the Bible, you're going to have to believe what I've said to you. These Old Testament saints obtained a good report. A good report. But it was by faith, never receiving the promise that's offered to you. Never received it. God having provided some better thing for us. Something better is provided for us. And I'm offering it to you tonight. A measure that'll reach even unto you. You are not left out. You're not left out. You're not. Let me preach a little about the apostles. I know a lot of preachers that left to lived in that day. I'll never forget. Some of you may have been there, but I came back from Tennessee to preach dear old Brother Wise's funeral in Louisiana. One of the greatest old soldiers of the cross that I'd ever known. 52 years of gospel preaching. Many of those years on crutches, and then many of his last years in a wheelchair. I've seen him rolling around on the platform preaching, coming out on the edge of that seat under the anointing of God, and I'd be afraid he's going to fall out of the chair. I've seen him come up to the edge of the platform, and oh, I'd want to go stand there to keep him from falling all the way off. I loved him. I was his secretary for many, many years. And motoring down from Tennessee to Hodge to preach his funeral, I began to meditate and think, and oh, what could be said of such a great man? And this came so forcibly to me, so very forcibly to me. And I used it in that service. Several preachers have it in print in their libraries today. They show it to me. I didn't know that they got it, but they did. I made mention of this. God, knowing all things, knew that that man would give 52 years of a dedicated life, conscientious living to the cause of God. Had he lived back in the days when Jesus chose his disciples, it stood a good possibility that Brother S.L. Wise could have been one of them, because he was so great and so dedicated. I said, had he lived back in the Old Testament and had given over a half a century of dedication to preaching, he may have gone down in the records of God as a prophet of the Old Testament. Who knows? Who knows? But I'm going to tell you this, friends, I don't think Brother Wise is left out. I don't feel left out myself, because I wasn't chosen of the Lord and privileged to walk along with Him. I don't feel left out. And if you'll listen to me, I'm going to show you, you're not left out. You're not left out. Wouldn't it have been glorious to have seen Him on the streets of Jerusalem? Wouldn't it have been glorious to walk with Him up and down the streets of Nazareth? I walked those streets and I tried to just visualize Jesus walking these roads, these old sandy roads. I'd get out in an old road and think, I wonder if the Lord ever made a track here. Of course, that didn't make any difference. He's present everywhere. But that was just my thinking. But you think it would have been the most glorious thing if I could have just been on the earth when He was. But you listen to me now. You listen to me. In the latter part of the 13th chapter of John, Jesus mentioned to His disciples about going away. He's going away. And it left those disciples so discouraged, so broken, until the Lord just seemed like couldn't pick them up. He started the 14th chapter of John speaking to some of the most troubled hearts you ever saw in your life.
We use it for funerals, but it wasn't given for that. He looked at His disciples and He said, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, you believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But that didn't pick them up. That didn't pick them up. The thought of Him going away. The thought of Him going away. They'd given up everything to follow Him. The only reason, Peter had a family. Jesus healed his mother-in-law. They gave up everything to follow the Lord. Now He's talking about going away. And He's trying to pick them up. That didn't pick them up. He went on through that 14th chapter and He didn't pick them up. He went through the 15th and He hasn't picked them up. He went into the 16th trying to pick them up. And He got down to the 7th verse, and here He just spoke to them emphatically. He spoke plain. He spoke stern. He spoke that they could understand. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Brother, He's wanting them to get it. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. It's best for you that I go away. Oh, friends, can you think of anything better than Jesus being here on the earth with you? And here He is saying, it's expedient for you that I go away. It's best for you that I go away. Why? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And that's a measure that reaches even unto you. That's a measure that reaches even unto you. In other words, the Lord says, it's going to be a better day for all of you after I'm gone than it was while I was here. Because I'm going to send the Comforter. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost. And that is a measure that reaches even unto you. I'm going to say again, the choice, rich, greatest blessings God's ever offered is offered to you tonight. I exposed myself last night. I'm going to do it again tonight. Just as well, you know it anyway. I tell people I'm from the country. If I didn't tell you, you'd think I was from further back than what I am. So I tell you, I don't leave you guessing. I shook hands with your governor last night. I said, Governor, you just heard an old country preacher preaching tonight. He said, well, I liked it anyway. Praise God. I came up, as mentioned last night, in the Depression. Second child of a large family. The oldest boy in a family of seven other boys, eight, including myself. Right in the midst of that depression, times is hard. Harder than any of you could think. My father couldn't get a job nowhere, and he tried. He tried. My brother, younger than me, we had a job that a lot of young men coveted, wanted. Went all through the Depression with that job. And we wouldn't quit it and go to school. We helped raise this large family. I quit school when I still ought to have been in school to help my father raise his family, feed them, and clothe them.
And I have no regrets of it tonight. I want you gentlemen to know. I got saved at an early age. An early age. I went to preaching and I'm a little afraid to be maybe asked by some of you, why don't you? But I went to preaching and in the same year. But I never went and asked them to ordain me. They come and got me. And then within 6 months, I didn't go ask the church. They come and got me. Come and got me. And there I was, full-time pastor in the early months of 1934. And I received the Holy Ghost in 32. Here I am, already ordained and a full-time pastor. Quit my job and went to pastoring full-time, evangelizing first, and then to pastoring. I wasn't pastoring no time until I realized I needed something I didn't have. I needed an education that I did not have. And seemingly too late to get it. And the devil's always gives you a pretty picture. They started night school back at DeRidder at my home. They started having night school. And I was thinking if I was back in DeRidder, I could go to night school. Wouldn't that be beautiful? And about that time, even though it was depression, the superintendent of the plant that I was working in when I quit and went to preaching sent for me to come back and take my job back. Oh, how beautiful it would have been to have gone back and went to work and went to night school. And I was thinking of it. They gave me a little while to think about it. I wrote to some preachers to ask for advice. And I got a letter from one preacher. Just one. That's all. That's all. That's all I needed. This one preacher said, Brother Glass, God knew your limitations when He called you. And it's most unusual. It is unprecedented that one is pastoring a full-time church so soon after his call to preach. God has already situated you. My advice to you, stay there. And I want to tell you, Brother Glass, there is no one that is ever altogether and completely educated. He can always learn more. So you educate yourself. Educate yourself and stay with the church preaching the gospel. That helped me out a whole lot. But I read another letter. And this one didn't come from a modern day preacher. It came from the Apostle Paul. It wasn't addressed to me, but I found it. And he said this to an audience in writing with a pen. He said, I come not to you with excellency of speech. And that's what I felt the need of, was excellency of speech and man's wisdom. And Paul said, I come not to you with excellency of speech. I come not to you with man's wisdom. I determined to know nothing among you. Say, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I said, I know that. I know that. And Paul said, I come to you in the demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost. I said, that's measured to me. That's measured to me. I'm not left out. I'm going to preach the gospel as long as I live. My friends, I'm going to say again, the most treasured, choice, favored
blessings of God are measured unto even you. You're not left out.
I'm wound up.
I feel so sorry for you, precious people that haven't been privileged to hear Brother Dees. I've sat at his feet 3 days. I'll be sitting there tomorrow, the Lord being my helper. Such preaching and teaching. Oh, so sound, so sound. Preach so very much these 3 days on the love of God. The love of God. And I'm going to just briefly mention this. He quoted it. The last verse of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. You go all through that chapter. You'll find the gifts that you coveted. You'll find them that you coveted them. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. There's a lot of you here would like to speak with the tongues of angels. Somebody get up and speak in tongues. You think that's they're more spiritual than you are. That isn't necessarily so. That isn't necessarily true. Somebody may interpret it and you think that's spirituality. They're more spiritual than I am. Not necessarily true. Not necessarily. Then he went into the faith and all. But the prophet concludes, the greatest of all is love. And love is in reach of you. You may never speak with the tongues of angels. You speak in other tongues when you receive the Holy Ghost. You may never have the gift of tongues. You may never have the gift of faith. You may never be able to remove mountains. But you can love. And God leads love. 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 That's in reach of you. Praise the Lord. This wouldn't mean
so much to me if it didn't come from the pen of David. If Mr. John Doe would have written it, I may not have even read it twice. But since it come from the pen of David, oh, it has to mean something to me. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing. And that will I seek after. And I'd like to preach a long time on that. Anything you desire enough of God to seek after it, you can obtain it. A lot of people desire, but they don't seek. He said, one thing I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after. What is it, David? Another throne? No. Another cedar house? No. Another kingdom? No. Another billion? No. What is it, David? The thing I desire of the Lord is this, that I may abide in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That is a measure that reaches even unto you. I'm saying again, the choice, the rich, most treasured, favorable blessings God has ever given is offered to this Arkansas camp tonight. The kingdom of God. What is it that Jesus died to establish? You answer it. You answer it. What is it Jesus died for? He died to establish the kingdom of
God. I've gone so far as to say, He didn't die that you could be healed. People were healed before Calvary. I go so far as to say, He didn't die that you could be baptized in water. They were baptized in water before His death. He died that you could receive the kingdom of God, the Holy Ghost, in your heart and in your life. That is all that's offered to this world that the world didn't have before Calvary. So He went to Calvary that you could have this that's measured unto even you tonight. How many in this audience understood this message tonight? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it a little hard for you. I'm going to make it hard. I just as hard for you as I can to come. I'm not going to ask nobody to bow their head and close their eyes. I don't care if everybody here sees you. I want somebody in this audience to stand up and come down this aisle with all the eyes of the people looking at you if they want to. I'd like for all hell to see you come. I'd like for the devil to see you come. I'd like for the demons of the deep to see you come. It's going to take men and women to come tonight. Get up somewhere in this audience and come down this aisle. Come on. Get up from where you are. I challenge you tonight. I challenge you tonight. Come on. Come on. Somebody else, get up and come on. That's right. Get up and come on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's a measure for you tonight. Come on. Come on. Someone else, get up from where you are. I'm not making it easy on you tonight. No, sir. No, sir. I want hell to see you come. I want everybody to see you. As I mentioned already, I want every demon in hell to see you come. I want that spirit that's back there with you trying to keep you from coming. I want you to leave it back there and come on. I want you to get up and walk off and leave it. It takes a man to do that. It takes a lady to do that. And you're back there. You're back there. You're battling. You're battling. I say, leave that demon. Leave that spirit. Leave it back there. And come on. Come on. God bless you, my friend. Come kneel right here at this altar. Come right on. Somebody else get up and come. Somebody else. God bless this lady from way back. Get the Holy Ghost before you get here. You can have it before you get here. Somebody else, somebody else. Get up and come on. Get up and come on. Come on, friends. There's a measure that reaches even unto you. this that shows such a lack of interest in the cause of God for you to get up and disturb and walk